So all of you who've joined the conference, have you been able to read through the intended agenda, or was that too late?
Yes, we read that.
Okay. So any amends to the agenda for today?
No, not at the moment, no.
All right, so let's go.
Somebody, this is Bart. Somebody else joined? Who just joined?
Hi, Bart. It's Stephen Dierhaeck, AFCO Main Registry. Good morning,
Hi,
one and all.
Steve.
Hi, Stephen. Okay, then. If there's nothing to be added, then let's walk straight through the agenda. First point I would like to discuss is that I made some amendments to the draft of the attributes list of the contact repository, and I marked them red. Anybody who wants an explanation why I did add them, or is that unclear, or anybody who says, well, I don't feel that we are in need of this additional attributes?
I am here speaking, and I have one question. And what's different with the registry operator name and DNS operator name?
Okay, think of PIR for example.
PIR,
okay. public
okay.
Interest Register.
So the PIR is a registry operator, and PDS is a DNS operator.
Right.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Maybe Zoran is here. Maybe I
Hi,
can
Zoran.
Explain that more. Hello, more clearly. In Croatia, Carnet is the registry operator, and we outsource all the technical stuff to the university center in Zagreb. So they are DNS operator for us.
Okay.
So
thanks.
Maybe
that would
clarify the why is the difference. But still. I tried to and I send you an email about this internet domain and ccTLD name, which in my opinion could be confusing for everybody else, because ccTLD itself stays for country code top level domain, and to me I think that people might be confused because internet domain and ccTLD name, they might consider that the same thing.
Okay. Any
well,
suggestions?
I really don't want to be very persistent in this, because I mean it's okay with me, but I think that people might be confused with this. They can think that this is the same thing, especially because you have internet domain ccTLD name, host organization name, registry operator name, and DNS operator name. So I think that internet domain name or ccTLD name could be skipped.
Okay. I was thinking about the term of internet domain in my case being .de, whereas the ccTLD name would be DNIC. The host organization for ccTLD response contact point in my case would be DNIC as well, but this is due to the fact that somebody rose the question that there could be a difference between the host organization and the name of the ccTLD. For example, if a sub-organization is kind of incorporated in, or the ccTLD is incorporated in a host organization. Just to
I have an idea. I have an idea why would that be. Probably it could be interesting for somebody who is registry and they have some maybe subcontractor or whatever who is responsible for security for DNS, for example. But then what would be confusing is you have ccTLD name, which you think that this is in fact the registry operator name, isn't it?
Yeah. True.
Because in your case, CCTLD name is Denik, and registry operator name is also Denik,
right.
And I think that then CCTLD name and registry operator name is maybe the same thing.
Okay, you're right. So we could skip registry operator name, and the rest will still stand.
But then I would suggest, to if you skip that one, that you put CCTLD operator's name. Would it do?
Okay. Yeah. Good idea.
One more comment from me, Katrina.lv. In IANA database, we use the term sponsoring organization. In this case, do you mean a host organization would be the same as sponsoring organization?
No idea.
Or is it something else? Or sponsoring organization? Should we reflect sponsoring organization somewhere in a? Or it's not important?
I don't think that it is important. We do not have to map the complete legal environment of each of the contacts. I think I just want to make sure that we could identify somebody and that we could reach them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would skip. I would omit sponsoring organization.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to omit the sponsoring organization.
Okay, so then we got like 4 points in the upper square. I think functional role of the person is quite clear. I just want to make
it's excellent idea. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, and I did include the word specific in front of email address because I want to make sure that this email address we do get is maintained very well and that we are not provided with an email address where once in a month's time somebody is looking in that email address.
Mm-hmm.
So probably you want to set up a specific email address to really make sure that you pay specific attention to emails that would come from the contact repository or from a group associated with the incident response towards this specific email address. That's just what I wanted to point out with the word specific. Nevertheless, it's a minor amendment.
I really understand your point, but I think probably it is an excellent idea, but I think that it should be maybe more clearly explained for somebody else. I don't know. I understand this is the email address that is really in use, I would say. So maybe it should be... Of course, it should be maybe personal email address of the contact person, but of course it also should be possible to specify the email address of the group who are taking care of. Yeah, how to put it on the paper, I really don't know. I mean, but I understand the idea.
Yeah, but if we all got the same idea and you even spun that idea a little bit further, why wouldn't we want to use, for example, not just a specific person's name, but a name of an email address of the whole team? So we could just easily explain that in some legend or amendment to the data list. And all of those guys who are not attending the call so far could just refer to the protocol
or
to the minutes, to be precisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine with me. It's very okay.
All right, then. Any further additions to what we got so far? By the way, if you take a closer look into what I've drafted and sent to you in this version 03, I removed the letter suggestion of including, for example, a point-to-point connection or my thoughts on Twitter. So just forget about them. I don't think they are too too important. But I'll come up with the idea of Twitter a little bit later on.
Maybe
yes.
One is office time, change that into business hours.
Office hours?
Business hours.
Okay.
That's as far as I know, but Stephen...
It's a standing term.
Yeah.
Okay, will do.
And two other people joined.
Yeah, one of them was me, Otto Nadler from NKT, Austria.
Hi.
Hi, Otto.
And who else?
Yuri.
Hi, Yuri.
Hi, Yuri.
Hey, Bart.
It's been a while.
I know. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Okay, so then let's move on to the discussions I would like to confront you with concerning what is currently going on within ICANN and what might be in some kind of relation to us as well. I'm not sure whether you recognize or not that ICANN did release for comments a report on a workshop that has been taking place in April this year. And to my point of view, this is obviously not what has been called for example, the CCNSO statement, where we wanted ICANN to come up with a bottom-up approach where all the shareholders should be involved. So there has been some involvement from the community, and there has been formulated some requirements, what is needed to be addressed to make the DNS secure or more secure than it is supposedly right now. But nevertheless, I do think that the comments on the DNS search that have been made, for example, in Nairobi and from all the other guys, have not been met yet. And as this is the case, I personally do not see that we as Incident Response Working Group should comment on the workshop, or that we should comment, and that is asked for as well, on the comments towards the DNS cert. Because what is included in our charter right now is that we should gather comments of the CCNSO community after ICANN came up with a new suggestion, a new proposal on how to address DNS security, and not with a comment on a comment. And I strongly feel that if we would, as Incident Response Working Group, would comment on the comments that have been released, it wouldn't do any good. But this is just my personal point of view, and I just want to point that out to you and ask you, who are currently in the conference call, on how do you feel with that statement? Do you agree or do you disagree? Do you feel
that? I agree with you. Stephen Derrick, I agree with you completely.
Okay.
I agree too, Katina Dokovi.
So if anybody would disagree, then we would have to phrase a specific comment from the Incident Response Working Group to any of those three papers, I think it was. But as I mentioned before, I wouldn't want to do that. Okay.
do you have to, Wim from Center, do you have to explain then that this is the reason why there is no no common? Just to avoid...
Yeah, I can do that.
So they assume that there is no problem, or that the we consider it as none of our business, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I forgot to mention is that there would be a comment on those three documents from the CCNSO Council. And in the comments from the CCNSO Council, there might very well be included a statement how and why the Incident Response Working Group is reacting in this or that way. Does that address what you wanted to say, Bart? Because I interrupted you.
Yeah, it's what I wanted to say is, as far as I know, the CCNSO Council still considers this still part of, say, the first set of documents just prior to the Nairobi meeting, and there hasn't been, say, a new plan. This is just illustrating and giving more depth to the first two documents. Prior to the Nairobi meeting, and we're still in the comment phase and waiting for, and the CCNSO Council is waiting for a new proposal. So from that point of view, this new document and the public comments are still considered by the CCNSO Council as well. So if the incident response would react, then you would have two entities within the CCNSO or the CCTLD community aligned in the CCNSO reacting on the same document.
Right. Okay, so I would summarize that we as Incident Response Working Group do not see a need why we should comment on any of those documents.
Yeah, given the CCNSO Council is already
doing that. Yeah.
I think that addresses Wim's concern as well.
Right. I would agree to that. Okay, that just to clarify on that point, that would mean for the CCNS, for the Incident Response Working Group and its amendment to the charter, that we would act once once ICANN came up with a new suggestion, for example, to build a community-based approach on how we could improve DNS security, then it would be us for the CCNSO to contribute to any of those workshops. Okay.
Hello, Yuri.
Yes, Yuri.
Trying to understand this one. And,
could you speak up a bit, Yuri? I didn't hear you that well.
All right, hold on a second. Okay. Hello?
Yes, much better.
So I understand your point, and... So the three reports, this common summary is including that that point's been taken and recognized, and analysis clearly identified that. And then the next step is proposing the next public consultation at the Brussels, and then discuss at the, you know, the community members are going to discuss the next step. That is what is proposed. Not proposing that ICANN is running or pushing this, you know, start formation or anything like that. In fact, it's clearly saying that, you know, staff will, of course, continue outreach and education and dialogue. Was raising this awareness of this program, but this report, and also we're proposing to do some survey with the SORT community. These are something like including the community. I'm trying to include the whole other players as well. These are all responding to the comments that we've received. So my understanding is we put the notices on replying, yes, we are going to move more community. Well,
so once you're saying we, then you mean what ICANN. I refer to this party as ICANN, right?
So when the summary's analysis is published by ICANN, yes, so that's what I refer. And also the report committee, the workshop report is not put by ICANN. It's put by Aber, Jose Nazario, and Chris Morrow from Google, and Roy from Nominate. So it's totally a community initiative.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point out it's not, you know, I would be interested in seeing the CCNFO Council point comments. But the intention was not we're persuading or pushing or anything. And in fact, it's moving to more community initiative.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but so nevertheless, what?
But I understand that I instant response working group is not going to put the comment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Okay, so let's move on to the next topic on the list then. I just want to make you familiar with the results of my discussions I made with Peter Koch, actually. That is more or less reflecting or following up on an action item we have been discussing within the last conference call, where we wanted to ask OARC whether or not they are probably currently running a repository for their purpose that might in parts or probably even completely fit what we are intending with the contact repository we are currently working on. So as I mentioned before, I talked to Peter Koch about what is actually in place in OARC, and I don't know whether you are aware of what they run already, so I want to share that with you, because not all of you might be members of OARC, and so you probably just do not have even have a chance to see what's in place over there. And one thing that appeared to me to be very interesting is that OARC obviously set up a web interface where you could edit incidents, and you not only edit those incidents, but you could as well point out and direct with whom you want to share those incidents. And what obviously is being delivered as well is that those parties who are being qualified by the editor of an incident get an email with an information that the new incident description has been filed in, and on that way they can connect to a website, to a web interface, and learn a little bit more on the incident that has currently been filed in. And I personally think that this is a very neat functionality, and I can imagine that this is probably would be handy for the contract repository as well. But as Peter Koch told me, although this function seems to be quite nice and up and running, it wasn't used at all, or it wasn't used that much, even though it has been provided by OAuth for a long time. And that made me ask how come, and he couldn't really deliver an answer to that. So my question for you would be, what do you think about a functionality like this, or do you have any idea on why it hasn't been successful, and as this is a major stop or a major showstopper for this functionality, we shouldn't try to build up something that is akin or like to that.
You have, from my perspective, as a third, it's really, really hard to get people to talk about their own troubles. That's given all over the country, all over the industries. It's really, really hard to get people to share what's going wrong with their own stuff. There's a lot of trust involved, a lot of knowing each other. This is a really, really hard question. And in my opinion, at least for us here, it's probably not worth it for at least a few years to come to go there.
Because nobody would file in his incident descriptions.
No, probably not. In my opinion, my experience is, as a third, is that you need to have a very good personal relationship within the community for that to happen. That takes a lot of time to build up, a lot of personal meetings, a lot of personal get-togethers and beer, and otherwise it won't happen. And even if you get the personal relationship up and running, people probably will use their direct email, whatever, to communicate to each other, and it's really hard to expect them to use some centralized system. In theory, it's just human nature. People, if the information is sensitive and those kind of stuff usually is, they send it over contact points which they know and they have experience and relationships, and probably there's something even recursive on that, because if I don't get a report from other people over that channel, I won't start sending my own stuff there. So it's really a tricky thing to get such an exchange up and running on a social level, not on a technical level, on a social level.
Mm-hmm. And that stands even if one would be able to authenticate users, authenticate access to those informations.
This is not a technical question. This is a social and human question. Whatever feature you build in the system is nice and fun, but it doesn't hang on the features. It hangs on the human planet and if they trust the system.
Okay.
And trust is not something which can be justified purely by technical.
So thanks for the insight. Anybody else wants to comment on that one?
Well, it's Wim. I have no idea how the OAuth system works, but if I talk from my own experience within the center, I would say something similar. It is really difficult to have people write something into write the text like you decide beforehand this should be the information you share, and to motivate them when something happens to deliver that information. What we see within Center, if something happens, it will go to the mailing list where people know each other, and they will just use their own formats and share the information in a easier, quicker way, without thinking, okay, how did we decide that we should share the information?
Okay. So it was nice discussing, but we set that aside for probably version 2.0 of the contact repository, but not explicitly not for a very first beginning. If ever. Is that a consensus?
Yes, I think that's a fair summary.
Okay. Good. Then let's move on to a more general question that struck my mind, and that is, once we build this repository, for whom should it be open? Is it CCTLD members only? Is it TLDs in general? Is it, well, I can think of registrars operating resolvers, I can think of DNS operators, I can think of certs. Whom do we want to give access rights or file in rights?
I would say certainly registries, both CCs and Gs.
Why not DNS operators?
I don't really see a problem with that either.
So how about adding certs as well? Because sometimes, as we do know, there's a joint operation between CCTLDs and regional certs or national certs anyway.
Jörg, it's Zoran. I'm just reading this list, and my first question would be, why not to give them? So whatever you propose here, I would completely agree to give them the access to the repository, because I think it's better to have that kind of information than not to have, and it's nothing really, I don't know, really secret in that. So so my proposal would be to expand the list of the persons or organizations that would have the access to the repository.
Yeah, there's just one point that comes to my mind hearing you, and that is that Otmar talked about trust and trusted contacts. So for sure, if we would really stress the point trusted, and if we want to set up, for example, via this contact repository, trusted relationships or trusted communication between different partners, it just is getting harder the larger the group gets. But I personally do agree that I would love to have all the relevant people, groups, and contacts within those repository, and I see, from my point of view, that it definitely is more than CCTLD members, because if we refer to our definition of incidents of an incident and how we would like to respond to it, there was something phrased in it like a joint response nationally and internationally. And we couldn't respond internationally if we would lack certain contacts in country A and B, or even to CCTLDs or to major operators. So I personally would include them, yeah. But I just want to discuss that with you and see what you think about that, because I know there might be this issue of privacy and trust. So would anybody opt against some of those members I put in the list? Hello? Excuse me?
Um,
Iraq, okay, from my point of view, I think opening it up to all TLDs makes a lot of sense. There's no point in treating CCTLDs differently than GTLDs for emergency contact points. So I'm definitely open to include those as well into this list and also giving them access to the list. A bit more about trusted. In there we have these authentication information for a person, like encryption keys or whatever, PGP fingerprints, and that information could be public as well, or something like time zones or countries, whatever. The really tricky stuff is only the emergency phone number and the specific email addresses, and probably messenger services as well. It's just very, very little information there that is actually confidential or not public by default, because who runs .IT is well known. There's a public name for it. We have a public website. We have, okay, these are our chairs, whatever. That's on that. That's public. Only the emergency contacts are actually not public, and these need to be kept secret. I'm a bit uncertain about how to treat certs in that respect, because some of those certs have different feelings what an emergency is, especially if there is phishing or whatever involved. So even if we write in there, phishing is not a reason for calling this number, I'm not sure if not some brand protect or banking cert doesn't agree and says, well, this is for me an emergency, I'll call your number.
Okay, good point.
So I'm a bit unsure whether we should it up, whether we should open up to search in general or not. But within in the TLD community, it definitely opened up.
That does include DNS operators. Question. Even though they are probably not running a TLD.
What operators do you have in mind, for example? The big hosters or the big...
The likes of community DNS and so forth.
I wouldn't have anything against them, for example, because they're in business of running DNS.
Just one example.
Yeah.
I could name others like Autonomica and so forth.
Yeah. Actually, yes. I would include them to give them access for the really big DNS providers. But
yeah, I would do so.
Doesn't make sense here.
Okay, so I think I heard that the consensus would be leave out the certs, as they might have different ideas on what is an incident, and probably they do have their own structures in place anyway. And if we would have somebody, a contact within the contact repository who knows and trustedly knows somebody within the certs community, like you for example, Otmar, then there would be it would be possible to set up a connection to a specific cert anyway.
So in our case, if some US cert, whatever banking cert, has a trouble with an AT domain, they can call us as a cert, and we know how to contact our local TD registry. Well.
Okay, so let's leave them out in the first place, and if once in a while there would be a certain applying to get access to those contact repository, we would consider that applicant by applicant.
Yeah, that might actually be a topic for the shared ICANN first day in Miami in 2 weeks or 3 weeks' time.
Could you go a little bit more into detail, because I'm not aware of the Miami meeting.
Okay. where is the first meeting? The Forum of Incident Response Teams,
yeah.
The third community
association.
Mm-hmm. Association, and they have a one-day event before that, which Yuri is organizing about the relationship between CERT and the main business or the registries. And I think it would be a good topic to talk about this there.
Okay.
Yep, I agree. It's going to be... Sorry, this is Yuri. And I'm organizing that workshop for our first CERT community, raising their awareness of importance of DNS security and importance of working with CCNS, CCTLD, and DNS operators. So that's going to be a week before ICANN meeting, and the workshop is actually separated on Sunday and Wednesday, and that topic is covered on Wednesday afternoon, and we're going to have AT representing both community and giving a tip how to work together. So I think this repository and how to work with the trusted CERT community, which is first is one of the community. So it's a good idea to start having a dialogue. Jorg, I sent you the scenario-based case study.
Right.
And that'll include five incident scenarios, and each of the scenarios includes who's going to be involved and who's likely needs to have a communication. That's actually a summary from the community workshop report. But if you could circulate with the members after you review, people probably have more clear, might be easy to have a clear idea who in this given scenario, who CCTLD operators need to be contacted or needs to communicate, or who else the security response committee or players needs to contact with CCTLD operators. So I would be appreciated if you, take a look at that scenario and give all the players needs to talk to CCTLDs to this registry, the repository. That will be very, very useful for all the community, not only the TLD DNS operating community.
I think we are narrowing in on what the function and the contents of the contact repository really supposed to be. And one thing or one way to do so is for sure to describe use cases or describe scenarios. And I think that we should share those scenarios as early as we can. I did return an email to you commenting on the scenarios you drafted, and to me there were a couple of questions left open, and I didn't want to dispute the scenarios before I was in my head clear with what was on the slide. So if we could come to terms and quite quickly can discuss discuss the question that came to my mind, I think that it would be very reasonable that the distribution of the work you have been delivering could be done in quite a short time.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Next point. I don't know how far we're going to get with that because I just do have an hour of time and we have 12 minutes left, but probably let's start on the list and let's see how far we do get. And even though we're not too sure about what the data attributes of the contact repository will be in a final version, nevertheless, I think it might be worth taking a look at how the look and feel of such a contact repository and how and who would probably maintain it. And in the mail I sent you, there are just a couple of bullet points, more or less, that came to my mind concerning look and feel and maintenance. Basically the question is, what do you think about these points and how would you answer them? Or is it too early to do that? Like, we first would have to become clear of the use cases, from the use cases get clear on the attributes, and from that set on top an interface.
Wait, you lost me on that. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, sure. Which part of it? I was guessing about how the interface of such a repository might look like, and I was wondering whether or not some more attributes will strike our minds once we discuss the look and feel of such a contact repository. And that's basically why I put some questions towards the look and feel and the usage and the maintaining of the repository in a list, and just to discuss them with you to get some insight on how you think that such a repository might be used. And second, to get to derive some more attributes or use cases for the repository. And
Jörg?
Yeah.
Some comments from my side. Keep it simple. There is no point in replicating LinkedIn, Thing, Facebook, whatever. Keep it as a very, very simple list of records and nothing else. Everything else is over-engineered, and I'm already on way too many social networks and community fora and whatever. Keep it really, really simple, please.
I understand your point, but I still want to discuss a bit about it, because I don't know how to answer questions like, I do have a problem with an address in Sri Lanka, and I'm sitting in front of a contact repository, but still I do not know the name of the contact person. I do not know the name of an operator over there. So how do I get the information out of the repository, and how do I get a trusted contact to somebody whom I might have retrieved after I get some knowledge on whom I should contact?
My guess here is that the main feature of that repository is that I can just look it up for Sri Lanka and get a record there and say, call this or maybe call this address. He's the one who should be able to help you. Going into this, is there a trusted path somewhere in that direction? It's overkill. It just doesn't work. I don't think so. It keep it simple, please. It's good enough for the first version that we just are able to look up the correct target, the correct address in the country which I need someone from, and nothing more. I don't think that I need this two degrees of separation kind of stuff. Who knows who knows what. No.
Okay.
I can look that up in LinkedIn or whatever. There's no need to replicate that functionality here. No point.
Clear statement on that one. Anyone else who wants to contact, to comment? Sorry. Well, doesn't look like it. Okay, so we skip on those points. Good. Does that include mailing lists and Jabber rooms and stuff like that, Otmar?
A mailing list could probably be helpful, but I wouldn't go for much more.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see that we need any additional functionality beyond a mailing list at this point.
So just a mailing list.
Yeah.
Simple and effective, low bandwidth.
Okay. Good. Coming to the PS topics, I think it probably doesn't make sense to discuss what we're going to present in Brussels, as we almost ran out of time. And I think that we set up another conference call prior to the ICANN meeting. Christina, is that true?
I'm sorry, I was telling the operator to dial far back, so I didn't.
have we been setting up another meeting prior to the? To another conference call prior to the ICANN meeting?
Let me check, 1 second. I think there should be one in June, I'm just not sure of the... it's 15th of June.
Okay.
And it's the same time, noon UTC.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit... that's pretty close to the ICANN meeting, but nevertheless, probably we could discuss that email-wise.
That makes sense.
Okay. So please,
Kirk,
yes,
you may want to discuss the use cases.
Yes, that would be the last point. And so let me just fix that. The working group will provide me with some suggestions via email on what to present in Brussels. And I just make them consistent and will get back to the working group with a proposal what we are about to present from those suggestions. Okay?
Sounds good.
Good. Use cases. I think that concerning use cases, we didn't get that far, and or at least we didn't get further than we were at the last conference call. And I think that we could achieve a little bit of progress once Yuri and I been discussing what she provided me with. So. If you are not speaking against to postpone the issue of use cases, I would gladly do so. Because from my point of view, I do not have anything new. Just my two comments on some of the lines and some of the drafted points or some of the drafted use cases. But I don't think that we should more or less rediscuss them right now because we did so within the last conference call. So let us probably just come up with more substance, and we could deliver those substance via email as well. And I would suggest that you would provide the working group with your comments on on the proceedings. Or
okay,
is there
like one point
imminent that has to be discussed right now?
Yeah, not really imminent, but one thing is I really like the three red lines, and we really should say, okay, this is the stuff which we want to go first, and the other ones like reports and lessons learned, whatever, is version 2 or version 3. Go for the hardcore red lines first and push the rest out into different slides or
to
be sure that we focus on the important stuff first and don't bring in too many new ideas, too many further ideas which are not relevant to the core mission of the thing.
So actually in the clear sense of the legend, these are the core use cases and the other ones are just additional ones.
Yeah.
To be considered later.
So maybe make it two slides. One is, this is what we are aiming for now, and this is the wish list, which some people might want from a thing in the future, but which is not on our current agenda right now.
Okay. Anybody who's objecting that, or is that agreed completely within the working group? Okay, so I'm going to do that. Nevertheless, I'm going over the proposals that were made by Yuri. So Yuri, we should find some time to communicate with each other. And I think as to this, we are done for this conference call. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you by email or at least on the 15th of June.
Sounds good.
Okay. So
thank you
for your participation.